A Canadian mining company wants to build a controversial open-pit gold, zinc, and copper mine near the Menominee River along the Wisconsin-Michigan border. But the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin wants to stop it, saying it threatens the river and culturally significant burial sites. We will learn more about the Back 40 project with three different guests this hour. The company, Aquila Resources, was unable to join us because of a scheduling conflict, but they did provide a statement, and we will share excerpts from it throughout the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We welcome your questions and your views on this proposed mine and the concerns of its critics. At 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. First, we will find out more about the facts about this proposed mine with Patty Murray. She is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Green Bay and covers northeastern Wisconsin and has been reporting on the proposed Back 40 mine. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning.
So why don't you just set the scene for us? What exactly is being proposed and where?
Well, like you said, it is located, well, it's near Stevenson, Michigan, which is in the UP just over the Wisconsin border along the Menominee River. That's obviously one of the concerns here from opponents. And again, it's gold, copper, and zinc. It would be an open pit mine. It's also referred to as a sulfide mine.
Yeah, and how many jobs are being proposed here? How much land is being taken up?
The company, I believe, is saying something like 250 jobs, and I think it is about 80, 83 acres, something like that. I'm not sure on the exact number. And I don't know why they call it the Back 40. I've asked people, and nobody really seems to know why they call it the Back 40, but it's about 80 acres.
Is that right? Isn't that interesting? Well, maybe because it's kind of out there. Set the scene a little bit more. The Stevenson, it's not actually, it's kind of in, it's in the Upper Peninsula. It's not a super populated area.
No, I wouldn't imagine so. I've never been to Stevenson itself, but I would imagine it's a pretty small town, and I would think 250 jobs is a pretty nice prospect for people living in the area.
So apparently this Canadian-based mine, Aquila Resources, thinks it's got some, there's gold in those hills.
Yeah, gold, copper, and zinc.
Yeah.
And it would actually, from what I understand, would be Michigan's first, new gold mine in, well over 100 years.
Well, Michigan Radio reported this week that the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality issued a surface water permit for the Back 40 project this month. It's the third of four permits needed. However, one of those permits is being challenged. Tell us about this this motion filed by the Menominee Indian Tribe regarding this.
Yeah, at the beginning of March, the Menominee Tribe, which is based in Kachina, and people might say, why would a Wisconsin tribe care about a mine in Upper Michigan? And that's because it is on ancestral lands of theirs that the tribe ceded back in 1836, I believe. Gary Besaw would be able to tell you more about that. But and the tribe says that there are culturally significant features, like they're concerned about damage to some mounds, some raised garden plots, and potentially human remains. So obviously that's a concern. So at the beginning of March, the tribe filed a contested case hearing, and that'll go before an administrative law judge in Michigan, and there's really no timeline on when that may happen. And if I remember correctly, I believe they're challenging the mining permit that had been issued by Michigan.
Yeah. So, so we don't know if when this judge is going to take up this this petition.
No, you might ask the chair that later. He might have heard something that I'm not privy to. But yeah, the last I heard, there's no timeline for that.
Well, what is the Michigan Department of Natural Resources saying about this location and the concerns that are being raised?
Yeah, in Michigan, they call it the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality.
Okay.
That is akin to our DNR. And I did talk to the director of the Oil, Gas, and Mineral Division of that department. His name is Hal Fitch. And he said the state archaeologist had gone out to the site and looked it over and said all those culturally significant features, such as I mentioned, the mounds, the garden plots, maybe some human remains. He said those are outside of the mine's boundaries. So he's saying that, you know, on the mine land itself, there's nothing the Menominees should be concerned about in terms of, you know, their history and their ancestors.
Yeah. What about the, can you describe a little bit more the concerns about how this might threaten the Menominee River?
Well, it is an open pit mine, and there is water involved in mining, so there's obviously concerns about some sensitive mussels that live in the Menominee River, and obviously just wildlife in general and water quality. And those are the headwaters of the Menominee River, and the Menominee River, you know, eventually flows into Wisconsin. So that's something the tribe is obviously concerned about, and, you know, anybody who, you know, lives along the river, I would imagine, would be concerned about. And the report, I think you mentioned, from Michigan Radio from just earlier in the week said that the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality says that these water permits have been vetted just extremely well and that it's been very thorough, and they feel that the river will not be harmed by activity at the mine site.
We did, as I mentioned earlier, reach out to the mining company to join us during this roundup of guest talking. There was a scheduling conflict, so we don't have a spokesperson for the mining company with us, but they did share a rather lengthy statement. And let me just have you maybe react to the company saying that the Back 40 project represents a significant economic development opportunity that can be operated in an environmentally responsible manner while respecting cultural and archaeological resources and complying with all appropriate environmental regulations and safety standards. So they're insisting this is going to be perfectly safe and not disturb any of these important cultural sites.
That's pretty much what they've been saying all along. So that doesn't surprise me at all that a mining company would release such a statement. And I would imagine they would stand behind that, and that they really do believe that they've gone through the ringer on some of this, on these permits that they've been applying for, and there is one permit left to go. So I feel that what Akilah is saying is that they've kind of, so to speak, jumped through all the hoops that they've been required to jump through, and they've got one more to go.
Yeah.
And they're confident that they'll make it through that one too.
Yeah. So, as we will talk with a guest from the Menominee Indian Tribe in one of our last segment on this, the Menominee though are not giving up the fight either. Though
they have this
petition filed, but I understand there was a protest last weekend. There's going to be an educational forum coming up next weekend. So. This is apparently near and dear to the hearts of the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think they're really just trying to get their tribal membership, you know, behind this and make sure that their members are aware of what's going on and the fact that, you know, they hold their history very near and dear, obviously, to their hearts, and to think that, you know, there could be it sounds really scary to have an open pit mine right up where, you know, some of your ancestors lived a thousand years ago.
Yeah. Just less than a minute before news, as this proceeds, what are you watching for in terms of future developments?
Really watching to see what happens with this contested case hearing, whenever that may be. I think, and obviously, and the last permit that is yet to be issued.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Patty. Patty Murray is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Green Bay. She covers issues in northeastern Wisconsin, and she has been reporting on this Back 40 project. We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we're going to welcome in a guest who is a critic of sulfide mining in particular, and we'll hear what he has to say about this specific project. And then we will also welcome in a guest from the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are hearing from a variety of guests on the proposed Back 40 Mine project. This is a project in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, just across the border from Wisconsin, just across the Menominee River near Stevenson, Michigan, where a Canadian mining company wants to build an open pit mine to mine gold and zinc and copper. But the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin says it threatens the river and culturally significant burial sites and is trying to stop it. What questions do you have about this project? Do you think that this kind of mining can be done environmentally safely? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our next guest is Al Geddix, a professor emeritus of environmental sociology at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, executive secretary of the Wisconsin Resources Protection Council, and the author of Resource Rebels, Native Challenges to Mining and Oil Corporations. Good morning.
Good morning.
So give us a sense of how big this proposed Back 40 open pit mine would be.
This is one of the largest open pit mines in the upper Midwest. I described it as deeper than the largest building in the state of Wisconsin, which is the first bank building in Milwaukee, which is less than 800 feet. It's 2,000 feet wide and 2,500 feet long, and it is only 150 feet from the Menominee River. And so there's a large amount of material that would have to be excavated to get at the gold and the zinc and the copper, and the vast majority of the rock that would end up on site would be toxic waste because it is a sulfide mine, which means that the copper, the zinc, and the gold is mixed with sulfide minerals, which, when exposed to air and water, release sulfuric acid and heavy metals in the environment. And so even though the company describes this as a gold mine, from the point of view of the people in that community, it is a large toxic waste dump, which will be a permanent feature of the landscape. The actual mine site is only 83 acres, but the entire site, which includes processing and waste disposal, is over 600 acres.
Yeah. Well, you know, the mining company, Aquila, issued a statement to us as we were unable to schedule a spokesperson because of scheduling conflicts. And this is part of what this statement says. Aquila has already completed a two-year environmental baseline study that closely examined air and water and flora, fauna, cultural resources in the area. And the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality has granted 3 out of the 4 final permits which are necessary to mine in the state of Michigan. Again, goes on to say that, you know, this is the environmental authorities are keeping a close eye on this and granting the permits. What's your response to that?
The fact of the matter is that the industry has a terrible track record regarding metallic sulfide mining. There are no examples of metallic sulfide mines that have not generated acid drainage and heavy metal contamination, polluted ground and surface water, and ended up on the Superfund list for cleanup, which constitutes, or let's put it this way, sulfide mines are the largest single category of hazardous waste that are listed on the Superfund cleanup list, which means that if this mine goes ahead and that toxic waste ends up as a permanent part of the environment, the people that will be paying for it are the taxpayers of Michigan and Wisconsin.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about the process that this mine is going through. I mean, how soon might this be up and running if everything is granted?
One of the main objections to this process is that it is an example of environmental racism and the social exclusion of the people most directly affected by the project. And I'm not just referring to the Menominee tribe. I'm also referring to the landowners and the downstream users on the Wisconsin side of the river who are not at all represented by our own Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, who has refused to even look at the permit process, let alone raise scientific objections to it. This whole process has been a much speeded up process that has ignored public input, and that when there were public hearings back in October, the public was told that we had five minutes to comment on substantive objections to the permit process or the mine permit application. When people arrived at the hearing at Stevenson High School, they were told they had 3 minutes to make their comments. And halfway through the hearing, they were then told they only had 2 minutes to make their comments. And so people that had spent hours and hours researching the technical flaws in the project were not allowed to make their objections heard. Now, people did submit writing and objections in writing of the permit process, and over 2,000 people submitted objections to the project. 98% of those comments were critical of the mine project. The Menominee tribe has not had any possibility of inserting its treaty claims and its cultural resources, because the state of Michigan has exclusive permitting authority over this project, and they have refused to consult with the Menominee tribe, even though Menominee tribe has the most information about what is at stake as far as the cultural resources that are going to be affected at this site. So from the point of view of the process, this is a highly unequal and lopsided process where Michigan Department of Environmental Quality is rushing the permit through and ignoring public opposition and ignoring the legitimate claims of the Menominee tribe to have a government-to-government consultation on what the cultural resources that would be affected by this project are going to be.
It sounded like you were also concerned that the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources was not involved in any way. Do you want them to be involved?
This is a joint river. This is an interstate river. The pollution from the mine that will be discharged over time is going to affect the entire Menominee River, and because it is under both Wisconsin and Michigan jurisdiction, there is no reason why Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources should not be involved in raising the voice of concern of Wisconsin citizens. There are now six senators, including Dave Hansen from the Green Bay area, which have submitted a letter to the Department of Environmental Quality asking them to slow down the process so that people who have objections to it, including the Marinette County Board, by the way, which is the right on the opposite side of the Menominee River on the Wisconsin side, which voted in September 18-0 unanimously opposed to this project. These are the people that will be directly affected by any pollution coming from that mine because they get their drinking water from the Menominee River.
Yeah. You were critical of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality for not listening or hearing the concerns of the Menominee Tribe of Wisconsin. We did hear from our reporter in Green Bay that the Michigan DEQ did say that their survey says the burial sites and culturally important sites of the Menominee are outside of the range of this open pit mine. What's your response to that?
There has not been an adequate scientific archaeological investigation of the site by the people who have the most knowledge of that site, which is the Menominee tribe. I mean, there's a reason why the river is called the Menominee River and why Menominee County is right next to the mine, because that is the cultural origins of the Menominee people. If you're going to assess what the effect of that mine would be on the cultural resources, the people that have the most information about that ought to be involved in investigating that site and identifying those resources which they have unique knowledge of that other archaeologists of non-Menominee origin do not have access to.
We'll share another excerpt from the statement provided to us by the mining company. They write, "We understand that the Menominee tribe continues to have concerns about the project. While we believe that the mining permit issued by the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality fully complies with Michigan law, we have continued to express a willingness to meet with tribal leadership and further discuss their concerns and explore ways that we might be able to address them. We hope that in the coming weeks and months, we can have additional constructive dialogue with tribal leadership to discuss potential mutually beneficial solutions." What's your response?
There is no substitute for genuine government-to-government consultation and input on the part of the tribe to do its own archaeological survey and to be allowed to submit information to the federal government under the National Historic Preservation Act to list some of those sites as eligible under the National Register of Historic Places. If that process were to occur, the federal government would have to intervene in that process because this is a federally guaranteed treaty obligation to the Menominee tribe, and the attitude of the company and the state of Michigan is to preempt that whole process because they understand perfectly well that if the Menominee tribe were given government-to-government consultation rights under the National Historic Preservation Act, that this project would be delayed for years.
We are talking with Al Geddix. He's a professor emeritus of environmental sociology at UW-La Crosse, executive secretary of the Wisconsin Resources Protection Council, and author of Resource Rebels, Native Challenges to Mining and Oil Corporations. We're talking about a native challenge to the Back 40 mine. This is a proposed mine by a Canadian mining company. It's a open pit gold, zinc, and copper mine, which is near the Menominee River along the Michigan-Wisconsin border. And we're talking about the controversial nature of this proposed project and welcoming your questions and your thoughts. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. John in Rhinelander is with us. Hi, John.
Hello. I'd like people listening to, if you want to see what extractive industry does to an area, go check out Hurley, because the only thing that's booming there is prostitution, and public officials look the other way. Extractive logging and mining has made it a destination to avoid. No one wants to invest in a home to retire next to a slag pile or a clear cut or a toxic waterway with a contaminated well. Think about it.
So, Al Geddix, what's your response? I guess John's point is that mining isn't really all that good in the long term.
I mean, there's a reason why economists and political scientists have come up with the term resource curse to describe modern extractive oil and gas, oil, gas, and mining activity. And that is because the areas that are most rich in these natural resources end up being impoverished, their economy devastated, and their environment destroyed for generations. These processes are exacerbated by the fact that the quality of the ore, the grade of the ore, which mining companies are going after, are the least valuable ores, because the most valuable ores have already been extracted, which means that if the company is going to make a profit off of these sulfide mines, they have to extract larger amounts of rock because of the small quantity of gold and silver and copper that remain in the rock, which means that the vast majority of the rock that comes out of that mine ends up as toxic waste that is a permanent feature of the environment. Now, we have the example, and in fact, Aquila, the company proposing this mine, continually cites the Ladysmith mine as an example of a safe mining operation. This is the mine that was declared to be in violation of the Clean Water Act by Judge Barbara Crabb in 2012, and was declared by the Environmental Protection Agency as an impaired water because of contamination from the Flambeau mine into the Flambeau River. Now, this was a mine that didn't have processing on site. There were no tailings because the ore was shipped directly to Canada. And despite the fact that there were no tailings and no large amounts of waste, they still had problems of containing acid mine drainage. The mine that is being proposed in at the Back 40 in Michigan is three times the size of the Ladysmith mine. There will be processing on site. There will be 54 million tons of toxic rock coming out of that mine, which will be a permanent feature of the landscape. And in the era of climate change, we know that there are going to be more severe weather events, storms, floods, tornadoes that will dislodge those tailings areas and discharge that toxic material directly into the Menominee River.
Josh in Madison is with us. Hi, Josh.
Yep. I have a question about, is the mine responsible for cleanup afterwards, or can they just abandon it?
The mine is responsible for reclaiming the area for a period of about 20 to 30 years. After that, the responsibility is on the taxpayers of Michigan and Wisconsin.
Is that often the case?
Yes.
Okay.
500,000 abandoned mines in the western United States, and the cleanup costs of those mines, if the allocation were to be made, would cost the taxpayers between $27 and $37 billion to clean up.
Thanks, Josh, for the call. We have just a minute before news. Al Geddix, as this process moves along, what's next, or what are you watching for?
What I'm watching for is the importance of the opposition coming from the county boards and the town boards. I mentioned Marinette County passing a unanimous resolution against the mine. Lake Township, which is the township right next to the mine, has a mineral extraction ordinance and a zoning ordinance that Aquila Resources has said they are not going to abide by. Those are legal obstacles to the mine process, and furthermore, they are messages to the investors in Aquila Resources that this project does not have the support of the local community, and that is a major liability for this mine project.
Thank you very much for being with us. Al Geddix, Professor Emeritus of Environmental Sociology at UW-La Crosse, author of Resource Rebels, Native Challenges to Mining and Oil Companies. Coming up after the news, we will welcome in the chair of the Menominee Tribe of Wisconsin, Gary Besaw, and he'll welcome your questions after the news. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about the Back 40 Project, which is an open pit mine project, a proposed gold and zinc and copper mine in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. It would be located near Stevenson, Michigan, just across the Menominee River border from Wisconsin. And the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin is trying to stop it. We will now welcome in the our next guest, who is the chair of the Menominee Tribe of Wisconsin, Gary Besaw, and we welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Gary Besaw is the chairman of the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin, and good morning.
Well, good morning, Joy.
Thank you very much for being with us. So outline your concerns with this Back 40 project.
Well, there are several. At one time, the Menominee Nation, we were indigenous to Wisconsin, what's now known as Wisconsin in Upper Michigan. And we had 10 to 12 million acres of land within our territory. Through treaties, we're now down to about 235,000 acres, and we're about 60 miles away from this proposed Back 40 mine site. But within this, it's part of the ceded territory, and we ceded it through a treaty in 1836. This is the location along the Menominee River, at the mouth of the Menominee River. That's where our creation story, we are told by our elders and passed down through generations, that's where we come from. That's where the Great Bear come out of the mouth of the river. And as he had walked along, he found the eagle, wolf, moose, and crane, and they were transformed into human form and became the first Menominee. Well, we know along there through our stories and through Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, through a federal law, a NAGPRA law, that we've made a cultural affiliation claim on some of the remains that had been dug up in the 1950s. Three of the eight mounds along the river, along the mining footprint, they took bodies out of there, pieces of bodies, and they stored them over in Michigan, over in Lansing, in to UW Michigan. And we made a claim, and we had to prove that, scientifically prove that these were ours. And through looking at the ceramic shards that match those currently on our reservation, through looking at the types of burial in these chambered mounds, and looking at a lot of other types of things, including some raised garden beds that match here and on our current reservation as well as up there, we proved that these were our ancestors, but we already knew that.
Yes.
We Menominee already knew that.
Okay.
But we proved it scientifically. Now these are in danger, this whole area. This is a sacred area for us. These are in danger now.
Yeah. What is your reaction then to the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality saying that these the burial sites are outside of the territory of where the mine is proposed?
Well, what they did when they first did what they considered an ARC study, they did a very superficial study, and in our thinking, and they saw the very obvious things. You're going to see raised mounds, and you're going to see the raised garden beds, but this is actually a large village scenario. The garden beds actually span probably 3 miles along the river.
Yeah.
And we want a full ARC study involving us. We know how we lived, and it's more than just preserving these certain 8 mounds. It's much, much more than that. And I might say, on the Toronto Stock Exchange, Aquila is trying to tell potential investors, you know, we're looking at this 5.5-story, 5.5-block long hole in the ground, you know, deeper than 2.5 Statue of Liberties. We're not only looking at this open pit mine, and to do that for 7 years, we're looking at also going underground with the mine and adding another 9 years onto it besides. And they haven't been approved for that. But we know that this total impact in build-out that they're looking at, it's unsaid what that would entail. Who knows how much damage would happen.
You have challenged the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality over the passage of a mining permit. Why is that?
Well, we filed a petition for a contested case hearing on DEQ's decision to approve the mining permit. And we're saying we do not believe they followed adequately the administrative process, their process as established. And part of that would be to allow us to, they know, for instance, that we have concerns regarding the cultural resources amount. They should have followed that and allowed greater input to us in looking at any type of cultural resources or impacts in there. Plus, we don't believe they adequately had gauged the impact on the environment.
Yeah, talk some about that and the proximity to the Menominee River.
Well, if you're looking at something as huge as we just described, and you heard Dr. Geddick, there's never been an open pit sulfide mine that has not contaminated. Now, people may say, well, technology has improved. Well, you're talking about Mother Nature. You're talking about the unpredictability and strength of nature, of the world. These mines do leak. They will start producing that sulfuric acid. It gets in the groundwater. It's going to come in. One of the things we were told in our creation story also is that we are responsible for the wild rice and the sturgeon and the maple trees within our area, and these fall within there. And easily, the sulfuric acid is going to destroy much of this. If I were living anywhere downstream or along that river, native or non-native, I would be worried. And I most definitely would be raising the flag right now. And the Menominee shouldn't be the only ones concerned about this. And, you know, I'm not saying we're not. We're the only ones. But others should be very, very active with this. There may be a time when you say it's okay to mine, but you never do it. There are certain places that are so risky that they are off limits. And when you're looking at a place near the headwaters of probably the biggest Upper Michigan watershed going into the Great Lakes, my gosh, that's 20% of the world's fresh water. That's 90 to 95% of the surface fresh water for the United States. We should not put that at risk, and we would be if we allow this.
Let me take a caller for you. Nicole in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What are your thoughts?
Well, I live in Green Bay, and I'm from the Indigenous Warrior Society, also a tribal member, Menominee tribal member, and we saw firsthand out in Standing Rock what this does to Native communities, and we are in a pivotal position at this time, and it's not too far-fetched to say that on a global scale that tribal communities often come with the extraction as a result of historic decisions forced upon us. I think it's essential that we must change this addiction to fossil fuel as a human race, and that to remind everybody that we do not inherit this earth, that we are borrowing it from our future children, future generations.
Yeah. Gary B. saw a reaction to that, but are you trying to get others involved in your fight?
Well, yes. There is that political outreach that we know, because we have many others who are non-native and are saying, well, you know, this has kind of come through the back door. We haven't heard a lot about it. But now that we hear some of the details and some of the potential risk, my God, how do we get involved? You know, so we're talking about a reach out. I've been probably 10 days in D.C., you know, since February. I've been on the West Coast. I've been to Madison. I've been all over the place trying to raise that awareness with these federal agencies and with our elected officials, both federal and state level, and also trying to get the assistance of individuals in Michigan, where this actually is cited. But she's right, our Nicole. What I might say is the Menominee people, we're not Luddites. You know, we obviously, I'm talking to you on a phone right now. We understand there's a need for certain types of minerals to continue this lifestyle we have. We understand it. But there are certain places that are too risky, and you should not use them if the technology isn't there. And right now, the technology is not there to compromise this Great Lakes that we have.
I mentioned that Aquila, the mining company, was unable to join us because of a scheduling conflict, but I wanted your reaction to part of a statement they sent to us. They say that this represents a significant economic opportunity that can be operated in an environmentally responsible manner while respecting cultural and archaeological resources. Briefly, because we're almost out of time, your reaction to those who say this would be good for the Upper Peninsula?
Well, if they're looking at short-term with jobs, they're going to get that. Now, Aquila is an exploratory developmental company. They haven't run any mines. They're going to sell this. They'll flip this to a mining company who comes in, and typically they bring in many of their own specialists anyway. So a lot of the jobs are those specialists that come in from other places. But in the long term, when you look at the hit to the tourism, to the economic benefits of tourism on both sides of the river and into Green Bay and Lake Michigan, it's not worth the trade-off. Easily, it's not. And remember, 80% of the gold that's mined now goes towards jewelry. It's not towards some kind of national defense type things or other issues. It's just not, when you look at the big picture, we shouldn't do that to our environment. We shouldn't put things at risk.
Thank you very much for being with us. Gary Bisaw is the chair of the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.